This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey. Call the cops.
This level of foolishness and joy.
Losers, in other words.
Hey.
Now watch this drive.
Raiders!
Hey. Damn it.
Shisha.
Sicario.
Bruce fucking Springsteen.
Damn it. Hey.
Yeah, people
hey.
Are gonna die.
I wanna see
baby. I did everything right and they indicted me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, your 45th president.
Are you still using that AI voice thing?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I pay for it every month because it is a subscription that you do have to do. But no, I haven't used it in a little bit.
Fell
Why?
Off.
What are you looking for?
Well, I was just thinking you could use it to have Donald Trump sing Taylor's version of Me.
Now, that's a whole subgenre I'm sure we've talked about
right. On
the podcast.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like the AI voices that can do like full on songs, not just a little bit of like a speech or something that sounds a little bit. I swear we've played this before. Hang on, let me see if I can find it.
It's been late for a while now.
This is Kanye West singing "Bubbly" by Colby Kaye.
Cause every time I see a bubbly face, I get the tingles in a silly place. Starts in my toes.
He sounds good.
He sounds great.
Dare I say better than he's ever sounded.
That's the thing. This is the freaking future that you're hearing right here.
Oh my gosh.
It's so chaotic and it's not that hard.
Rihanna, put out that album. You don't even have to sing, babe.
I know. Someone put out a Taylor song, but with the Lord AI voice, and it's
this is just
the Lord song because it was Jack produced as
Oh,
well.
Oh, right.
And it was like, oh yeah, this
it's a crossover.
Is just... Here's another one. This is a cover of a Jack Johnson song called "Upside Down."
I can't do everything, well, I can and try.
The Curious George song by Kanye West.
Oh, yeah. It just sounds like a man that's very good at singing, too. You know, like, mm-hmm. I can't place it as Kanye. Oh.
Here's
let's get out of this town.
Owl City, Kanye, Swift.
Nothing's us forever. Yeah. But you looking for something? You looking for some new spices and flavors from the AI?
I'll have to think on that. Profile. Yeah. Well, if you can do that, Donald Trump, me, that would be good.
Me, he.
But
he doesn't sing.
Yeah. But is that a problem? I don't know.
You know, and I'm glad we're talking about this now. Is it a problem that he doesn't sing?
My main issue with him is we've never gotten to sing.
Now, there's been famous examples of presidents singing. Of course, we remember from 10 or so years ago when Barack Hussein Obama sang a little bit of "Let's Stay Together" by Al Green.
Oh, how was he?
At that one rally. Have you not heard this?
I don't know.
Wait, okay. Now, this is worth...
worth a listen.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
And this is not AI. This is the real raw dog of Obama singing that. He was literally at the Apollo when he did this, which I appreciate. I, of all people, really appreciate. Okay, here we go.
The president.
I
so in love with you.
Oh my gosh. Soaked the floor.
Squish, squish,
squish. Oh my gosh.
And
it was pretty good though.
But I think the standout that we all remember is you know, President Bill Clinton, whose favorite song is Imagine by John Lennon.
It is?
According to him.
Okay.
Yeah, he comes from a different time. He didn't have to put out like, oh, here's my fire playlist every year like Obama does. But there was a children's choir of 40 Arab children and 40 Israeli children learned the song for him. And then they invited him up on stage to sing it with him. And you can see him.
I would like to invite you to sing with me.
He's like, okay, I guess I'll do it. He goes on stage.
And we all.
They give him a microphone, but he's mostly just watching them.
Also, like, she's soloing. What's he supposed to do?
This is the reality of what would happen in real life in a Jackson Maine Alley situation. It's one of them would just be like,
yeah.
You can hear him a little bit.
There you go. Oh. Live with Blue. Sounds kind of like Bruce.
And then, hey, what the? That is such horseshit.
Sorry.
In a way that.
Forgive me.
It's so clear you don't even know what you're talking.
Hello, people.
By the way, this is just a little personal corner, but our sure. friend Eric is following him.
Yeah.
In Europe right now.
Abroad.
And he was in Sweden. He was in Gothenburg. And he went to a couple shows there. And he videoed someone's proposal. Someone proposed to their now fiance at a show. And then other media outlets put it up and said, like, video credit at Eric
oh
Mark
my
or
gosh.
Whatever his name is. But then in the video, people are dunking on the man proposing of like, this isn't going to last. Because it was kind of corny the way he did it.
Well, but, you know, to each their own.
But, you know, it's when you're in a kind of horny romantic environment like a Springsteen
right.
concert
like,
in
there's
Sweden.
There's no better place.
What's going to happen except
daylight.
For that? But no, I don't need the slander today.
Is it hard that Eric is living
yes.
your dream?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is, yeah. actually. Because I'm like, my chicks have flown the nest.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Katie saw him already. My friend Eric saw him already. I have not seen him.
Get news outlet coverage of his videos.
Yeah, and it's been 7 years.
It should be you.
It should be me.
It should be you.
It should be me. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have Good Christian Fun. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the music, and the movies, and the entertainment made for and made by Christians. We also talk about president singing, whether it's Bill Clinton doing Imagine, or Al Green doing, or excuse me, Barack Obama doing Al Green, or George W. Bush probably having karaoke parties at his house.
Yeah.
Love Shack.
I was going to say if anyone was going to be caught singing on mic, it was going to be Prez Bush. So I'm shocked. I bet he did something.
People have taken now Watch This Drive and turned it into like EDM drops. But if you Google George W. Bush singing, nope, you got nothing. You got nothing. Maybe he's a little tone deaf.
He's a little shy.
Which would be his greatest sin that he's ever committed.
Well, he can't help it.
But we're here to talk about a real singer, which is Stephen Curtis Chapman and his song For the Sake of the Call.
Oh, yeah.
For the Sake of the Call, which was a nomination from one of our listeners in a previous episode of Call Upon
Our
Name.
This.
We fielded nominees for New Singles Ministry on our second service, and this one made it through. But before we get to that, just wanted to do a little movie corner on this theme. As we record this, it is July 4th weekend. Happy July 4th to you.
Happy July 4th to you.
We did no patriotic material, any content in either feed this year. We've done American History episodes of Adventures in Odyssey in
true,
years past.
True, true.
We've listened to that Jump 5 God Bless the USA cover at GWB's White House in 2002.
Yeah.
Those little children singing for their lives as we invade Afghanistan. But something else notable happened this week that I think is worth talking about and mentioning, which is a sort of box office revolution. Currently in theaters, you can see Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. You can see
The Kraken.
You can see The Kraken. You can see Asteroid City, if that's what's floating your freaking perfectly symmetrical boat. But also, the number one movie at the box office, would you care to guess what the number one movie at the box office was this week?
Gotta be Indiana Jones or Fast and Furious, surely.
Now, you would think that. It would make sense that that would be the case, but you would be mistaken because there is a movie called Sound of Freedom.
Hmm.
That is number one at the box office.
I don't like the sound of that. I do not like the sound of that.
It is directed and co-written by a gentleman named Alejandro Monteverde.
Okay.
Who doesn't have too much in the way. He co-wrote and directed a movie called Little Boy. starring Kevin James. This is it's a faith-based film that he did.
Okay. Is Kevin James doing faith-based stuff now?
He was
in that. Has he been doing that?
That's Kevin James, Tom Wilkinson, Michael Rapaport, Emily Watson. But he's also made a movie called Sound of Freedom. Sound of Freedom, I think the most important thing to highlight and mention about this movie, top billed, Jim Caviezel, who viewers, listeners may remember as the titular Christ in The Passion of the Christ. And Jim Caviezel plays IRL hero to some, Tim Ballard. Tim Ballard from Operation Underground Railroad, a U.S.-based anti-sex trafficking nonprofit organization.
Oh, right. Okay.
So this is sort of a human child sex trafficking QAnon-adjacent film.
Mm-hmm.
That on a budget of $14 million has already made $18 million at the box office.
Oh my God.
Starring Jim Caviezel, Mira Sorvino, Bill Camp, and Kurt Fuller. They're in this as well.
Did Jim produce?
Jim, he actually did not. He did not produce this one. But it's lighting up the box office. Tim Ballard, a former government agent who embarks on a mission to rescue children from sex traffickers in Colombia. He quits his job as a special agent to become a vigilante, embarks on mission to rescue children. Now, people can look into the Tim Ballard of it all, the hashtag Save the Children of it all, but this is weird, wild, and maybe a little bit bleak that this is one of our top grossing films.
Interesting.
At the box office.
Wow. Right now. You really... If you want to hit on your hands, you got to start getting those churches to buss in, I got to say.
Churches to buss in? Yeah, get
churches
those churches
bussing for that.
Bussing. Oh, when they see those children safe, they'll be bussing in the aisles.
Oh, my God.
While promoting the film in April of 2021, Caviezel endorsed some elements of the QAnon conspiracy. Caviezel mentioned that Ballard was supposed to be appearing at the conference that he was appearing at. It was an anti-vax conference in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, that he was at. But he was saving victims of trafficking who were victims of adrenochroming practice whose existence is suggested by QAnon adherents. Caviezel suggested he had seen evidence of children being subjected to the practice. So this is a deep state, deep movie.
This is rough.
And that's where it is.
I wonder how, I hope to never find out, but I do wonder how in depth they go into like the conspiracy level of it all, you know, or if this is like a gateway into like, oh, you care about this trafficking issue, right? Like, here's a good hero movie. Uh-huh. Go ahead and check the link out at the end of the credits, you know? And like, we'll really tell you the real truth or whatever.
Check the production credits.
Yeah.
Bill Camp's a real person. He's a real actor. People may remember him as God? From The Leftovers. or that nice janitor who taught Queen's Gambit how to play chess in Queen's Gambit. He's a little legend, and I am interested in his involvement in this movie.
I'm getting work.
Feels odd, but look at that. So we just want to say congrats to Sound of Freedom.
Sound of Freedom.
Let Freedom ring at the box office this week. Hopefully it's playing at a theater near you. Can you even see Sound of Freedom in Los Angeles? Yes, you can. We can see it at our beloved AMC close by us if we want to. Tonight at 10 o'clock, Caroline, we might be done in time.
Okay.
We might be ready.
I'm going to let some Sounds of Freedom out.
Gracious. So.
Oh, man. I can't believe Jim Caviezel even was allowed on set.
Yeah, but you know, he is handsome, so he still gets some work.
Still's got that going on. Wait, I'm going to look this up on the AMC app.
So, see if you can book a ticket.
He was promoting it in 2021, so they've been working on this for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's their great white whale of some sort. So congrats
2 hours,
to them.
Minutes.
Yeah, a breezy 215, 135
He's so
minutes.
Insane. Wow.
Interesting to think about. Now, you saw Dial of Destiny.
I did. I saw Dial of Destiny.
Do you feel like they could have combined these two things? Indiana Jones and the Vial of Adrenochrome. Two birds, one stone.
Nazis and Hillary Clinton sure have a lot in common, don't they?
And in this one, it's like, what if the Nazis are onto something? Like, he kind of does a 180 on Nazis.
I got to say, they could have been harder on the Nazis in Dial of Destiny.
Did they lighten up on them?
They didn't necessarily lighten up on them, but it's like they were just kind of the standard bad guys, you know? And don't get me wrong, they killed a ton of Nazis in that movie, as they should, but it was like...
Great, we love it.
In this era of American education, we're going to need you to just talk a little bit more about what the Nazis were doing. You can't just be like, Nazis, shorthand, you know, or like... Here's the goons that are coming to shoot him, take him away. There just happen to be Nazis. I'm like, no, we need to really talk about the Nazis, you know?
It is interesting, and it's sort of rebuttal to the idea of, or it's a refutation of the idea of progressivism and a sort of reinforcement of C.S. Lewis's idea of chronological snobbery. That is the idea of whatever is the latest time period is the most evolved period of time because it's the latest. So we're the most evolved in 2023 because it's 2023. And they weren't in 1993 or 83 because it was back then.
Right.
But it is interesting to be at a moment in time in which Disney might be playing it a little safe.
Stop shooting with the Nazis.
Because it's like, well, they see movies too.
Want to anger our base.
I mean, what is the crossover with like white supremacists and neo-Nazis?
Wild.
And Disney adults. I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Venn diagram.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Ugh. There's any Christian content in that movie. Because, of course, Holy Grail in the freaking Last Crusade is the cup that Christ drank from.
Ark of the Covenant?
Ark of the Covenant, the first
For
one.
For real? Yeah, that's a good question. There is...
Does he pray? Is he Christian?
There's actually a long Bible study scene with Indiana Jones.
We're going to do popcorn prayer.
Marion, it's weird. There is an artifact that they talk about for a little while, and I don't think this is a huge spoiler, that was like the spear, the like lance that they used to like spear Christ's side when he was on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about that for a little bit, but it's not... actually very powerful in the movie. So this is the other thing. Actually, I'd say if anything, the new Indiana Jones movie kneels to the god of science and facts.
Secularism? Fuck yeah, science. How so?
It is, I don't know. If people want to go see it, I will try not to spoil it. But the artifact that they pick is like kind of has like some cool powers and stuff, but it is rooted in literally math.
Okay.
So there's no like spirituality coming through. It's like ancient Greek scientist.
Yeah, and the Bible, aside from Noah's little ark measurements, it's not exactly a math textbook.
Not exactly. Yeah. So it's behind the cubits measurements. Yeah.
But we're seeing all 2.5 hours of it.
It was long. Well, we weren't planning to see on it, and we started at 8:30, and it was not done until like 11:20. You know, it was late. I was feeling it. But yeah, I think there's parts of it that are fun. It's just like a vestige of what Indiana Jones was and continues to be, you know, over time. But I enjoyed myself at certain points. It was nice to see Phoebe Waller in it.
Ford was just recently on Conan's podcast with our friend Matt Gourley, who was having a little fanboy moment.
Oh, yeah.
Which was very sweet to see, especially in the video. Harrison loves, he doesn't love anything in this world, but he seems to love fucking around with Conan.
Really?
Yeah.
It feels like it's really hard to get him to like say anything than like monosyllabic answers. Mm-hmm. So I would listen to that.
Oh, yeah. There's a clip from, I think, 23 years ago from the year 2000 of him doing Conan when he was on late night in the 12:30 slot.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that time, Conan's making jokes about like, yeah, well, you can do another one of these Indiana Jones movies when you're like 80. Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, ha.
He's like, Indiana Jones in the comfy bed. Just things like that. Why don't you just bring the artifacts into my room? You know?
It does kind of start with him like laying down asleep in an armchair. But he got moving. He did a couple of his stunts, I think. He got up on some high things. Oh. Here and there. Good for him.
Yeah. And you couldn't tell the deep fakery too much?
Oh, no. It was seamless. It was so cool. It was like the first third of the movie, I'm not kidding, is
deep fake?
Deep fake Indiana Jones.
But the young thing face, but old voice, right?
But old voice, the oldest voice. And the thing that I was really like trying to parse through is when they were actually using like his body.
Mm-hmm.
With the young face projected on his old face, I guess, which I think they did, but then it's not consistent. So that was mostly what I was watching for.
But that's not what you want to be thinking about when you're watching a movie.
Ooh, there's the old neck.
You know,
that's the young neck.
You know, like it's been a complaint or something people have noticed in the past when it's like, oh, did this person maybe get a facelift or something? Or, oh, maybe they got a little lip filler. But now it's like, I don't know if that body belongs to that face for not even just like a shot or two, but for a majority of the movie.
I don't know if this actor was literally alive when they did this and captured the voice. It's very, I wouldn't say it's enjoyable, but I don't know. Maybe we're dinosaurs and eventually like no one will care and won't blink an eye. You know?
I would say out of the upcoming sort of deluge of summer films that we're about to experience, the one that might have the most in common with what we talk about on our show is Barbie, based on things that Greta's been putting down.
Really?
Yeah. Like what? Well, there was an example. There was this long article in The New Yorker about Mattel and their push into film that they're doing. Sorry, I just crouched myself down because I was trying to make some text bigger and I can't. So I have to get a little bit closer to my screen. And at one point, there's a little paragraph in this where it talks about like Gerwig's decision to make it and move into this larger scale movie making, $100 million versus like the stuff she was doing before.
Uh-huh.
And talking about being entrusted with this really precious intellectual property from this toy company, from Mattel. And her agent is quoted a lot in this piece, which is actually really illuminating because he's like, yeah, here's what me and Greta are trying to do with her career, blah, blah, blah. But at one point, Jeremy Barber, an agent at UTA who represents Gerwig and her partner, Noah Baumbach, told one of the execs at Mattel, because they were trying to fuck with what they were doing with Barbie, are you crazy? You should have come into this office and thanked me when Greta and Noah showed up to write a fucking Barbie movie. And then this is a quote from the thing. In the end, Gerwig presented executives with a poem in the style of the Apostles' Creed, outlining what she wanted to do with the movie. And before, she's talked about how like some of the stuff, I haven't seen it, I don't know anything about this movie yet. We're about to, a week from when this episode comes out. But a lot of it is creation myth. A lot of it is leaving the Garden of Eden. And it's clearly something on her mind.
Loss of innocence.
And it's going to be very much on her mind as she will be doing at least two Chronicles of Narnia movies for Netflix.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel? We talked about one of them, Prince Caspian, on this show.
I'm looking forward to it. I feel like those that series when they did those, like, there's something kind of good about them, but there's a lot to be desired, I would say. And so, especially in Greta's, like, maybe more poetic, lush style, I could see those books being a lot more impactful on the screen, you know?
Yeah, like, take some of the tenderness of the sister relationships in Little Women, or some of the, you know, paternal, maternal stuff in Lady Bird.
Yes.
And then project that onto... She's clearly got an idea about it. And if they let her freaking cook, then maybe...
Go crazy on it, Gerwig.
I guess.
That'd be cool.
But it will be, yeah.
There's always the problem of Aslan, though, and making Aslan something interesting and not just like this forbidden god figure that's very cold and strange, you know?
Yeah, so what would her take on it be? Is it...
What's up, fellow kids?
Aslan sits down in a backwards chair.
Cross-legged.
Hey, so I'm kind of different from the other lions.
Let's get the shit.
And it's motion capture from Tracy Letts somehow. It's like, it's
that
weird.
That could work with that. You know, that might be good.
It's so weird to see her pivot this hard into the big...
Yeah, big movies.
Big. She's like,
I'm ready to get paid.
I saw a tweet that's like, well, someone in the family needs to. I guess.
That's true. There's kids in the house now.
I think Noah wrung the Netflix well dry of every cent dollar that they had to give him.
He did everything he could do.
Yeah, but something worth talking about. And yeah, I'm really curious to see how those themes play out in the next couple movies.
Yeah.
I can't freaking wait. Can't freaking wait.
Me too.
And then Mission Impossible, I don't think is going to have any Christian themes at all.
Well, Tom wouldn't have it that way.
Not Christian themes.
No, there will be themes.
Religious.
Themes. Do you think Oppenheimer will have some spirituality to it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is going to be about playing God on some level, right?
Right, right.
And being responsible for the destruction and what have I wrought. The movie is rated R. It's rated R, and a lot of it's for language and some violence, but some of it's for sex. And and the thing is, they shot
isn't this the first Nolan movie with sex in it? And it's Oppenheimer?
And it's Sloppenheimer. Might get a little Sloppenheimer. And the thing I'm really looking forward to is that, you know, in some of these movies, it's like they'll shoot this big sequence in IMAX, and then the rest is on regular cameras. But I believe he shot the whole thing in IMAX, which means for the sex scenes, he shot them with
its massive IMAX cameras.
So it's like, all right, it's just this huge thing the size of a car in the room, just like rotating around.
All
Emily
right, now
Blunt.
Really Oppenheimer.
Yeah, now really opping out. Oppenheimer style. Things like that. That's the Holy Trinity of July movies. But I bet in terms of spirituality, it's gonna go Barbie, then it'll go Sloppin', and it'll go Mission. In terms of the relevance to our show. I bet we could ring a movie heaven out Barbie. If we wanted to.
I would love to.
Unless it's a you know,
snooze.
Bone level deep disappointment, which would suck and be bad.
You guys don't want to listen to us talk about how much a movie sucks for 2 hours. We could do it.
We've never done it before.
We wouldn't
on this
dare
show.
Do it until now.
Oh, gracious. But we're not talking about movies today. We're talking about music. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time for another edition of Singles Ministry. Give him a second.
There he is. He's stuck in the green room for a minute, wrapping up his story.
Oh, shit. I got to get out there. Sing the Singles Ministry anthem. We're doing Singles Ministry. We're talking about the song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, Stephen Squirt is Fat Man. Heaven Skeeton Squirt is Fat Man. And the song is For the Sake of the Call. For the Sake of the Call, which
For the Shake of My Balls.
The song is For the Shake of My Balls. It's from his fourth album, released in 1990. This is a 33-year-old song. At least.
Wow.
It won the 92 Grammy for Best Pop Contemporary Gospel Album. This is a Grammy Award winning album that we're listening to. It was certified gold. And he wrote this song all by himself. And by the way, on an episode the listeners may or may not have caught by now, you drew comparisons between Ed Sheeran and perhaps another singer-songwriter type in my life. Mm-hmm. I think the more comparable figure would be a Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked
about
that. He's Dad Sheeran. That's what we called him many, many years ago.
He is Dad Sheeran.
On this show. Very approachable.
Yeah.
Seems kind.
Very kind, but, you know, big swings, big themes.
Oh, yeah.
Great gowns.
Great themes, beautiful themes. So he really goes there. We really have no runway to do a hit the goalpost because this thing just starts.
Starts hard.
So let's take a listen to For the Sake.
Rated hard.
The Shake of My Balls. Here's Steve Skeeton, Squirt is Fat Man.
Nobody stood
and applauded them. Been there. So they knew from the start
this road would not lead to failure. That's not why we're doing it.
A podcast, I'll start.
That's right. All they really knew for sure was Jesus had called to them. He said, come follow me, and they came. Nice.
Been there. Empty nets lying there at the water's
end. Told a story that you could believe and none could explain. How some crazy fisherman agreed to go where Jesus lived with no thought for what they. Jesus had
Oh yeah, I just want to play the bridge real quick. There we go. Because he talks about this in interviews. You can cut this part out, Emma.
Not for the sake of a creed or a cause, not for the dream or the promise, simply because it is Jesus who loves. And if we believe, we'll obey.
Word on it.
Doesn't that little trill sound like turning on a computer for the first time in like 1988? Yes. It's called the World Wide Web.
Time to get online and surf. Ooh.
For the Shake of My Balls by Skeet and Scortus Fat Men. Can I read you a little passage from Encyclopedia of Contemporary Christian Music, our good friend Mark Allen Powell?
You can.
I hope he's still alive.
We should book him.
We book him every time we read from him. This is about the title track from the album. He says, he read Dietrich Bonhoeffer's The Cost of Discipleship. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a sort of martyr type. He hatched a plan to kill Hitler, and he wrote things like Christian works like Life Together, Fellowship and Community, The Cost of Discipleship, kind of like pillars of...
Huge stuff. Yeah, the community one was big. Quick side note, has there been a Christian movie about Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Because that would be a good one.
No, but the...
The guy that wants to kill Hitler?
The main biographer of him and the one who wrote that book that I saw in like every Christian's apartment from circa 2010 to 2014, mm-hmm. is a guy named Eric Metaxas, who is a... fervently right-wing conservative radio host, commentator guy. So I wonder if he would have like some claim to the rights of that.
Yeah.
In some fashion.
Dietrich had some good ideas. He also had some bad ideas, like killing the Führer. But, you know, hear him out, guys.
His response to the book, this is from the Encyclopedia. He read Dietrich Bonhoeffer's The Cost of Discipleship, a book from which few Christians escape unscathed. His response was, for the sake of the call, the title song from his fourth album, which was to become a signature tune. The song expresses the essence of true Christian discipleship, of following Christ not for recognition, which is why I'm doing it, or gain, but simply in response to a call. It has been especially meaningful to candidates for the ordained ministry or other church vocations, and it is printed, not always legally, on lots of inserts and lots of hymnals at lots of Bible schools and seminaries. Musically, the song represents a stellar example of the recipe of a trademark Stephen Curtis Chapman song. Add killer hooks to the acoustic underpinning and big vocals and let it all lead up to a big, big chorus. Repeat several times. That is the sort of SEC confection.
Love that.
If you were to make it in a lab, that's what you would find.
Mark Allen Powell, always the sassiest encyclopedia writer.
He gets a little sassy.
I love it. Interesting. This is a... Well, what do you think that Stephen is trying to convey is the call versus what is not the call?
That's interesting to me, too, and I want to talk about it. And just a little more background on it, going off of that. Stephen said... You know, he talked about this of like, what does it mean to call myself a Christian, a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ? He talks about reading The Cost of Discipleship. He said, I think it took me a year to read because I'm a slow reader and it's a very deep book.
You didn't have to share that,
Props
Steve.
Props to him for the transparency, though. No one talks like this.
That's so true.
I've been reading Jesus and John Wayne for 4 years.
Just like your hero. Take your time.
It really challenged me. It was one of those times in life where God just took me by the hand and said, all right, come on. I'm taking you somewhere you've never been before. And he really did that with that book. As I was reading it, I found a passage that talked about the fact that the disciples didn't follow Christ for the sake of a great cause or a dream. It was simply because Jesus said, come follow me. They recognized that he was more than just a man. And though it didn't make sense to anyone, maybe even to themselves, they responded for no other reason than that he had called. I finally began to understand that to me, that's what it means to follow Jesus Christ, which is almost a little more circuitous, the way he's putting it.
Yeah.
A little more opaque. But he does, that's sort of underlined in the bridge of the song, is not for the sake of a creed or a cause, not for a dream or a promise, simply because it is Jesus who called, and if we believe, we'll obey.
Yeah, it's almost like it's more noble that
you don't know what you're doing.
No fucking reason to follow this person beyond like you're such a good little obedient person. Mm-hmm. Also,
to put it in our parlance, because my dad told me to.
It's also misleading he's saying that, because Jesus did do miracles with the fishermen before they followed him.
Mm.
Like, Jesus didn't say, come on, y'all. And they were like, yep, like, gotta go.
Yeah, he showed them some good.
He filled their nets with fish.
Yeah.
Right.
Before going all in.
I mean, I understand what he's trying to say, but he's also wrong. Like, you could argue there was a lot of reasons the fishermen followed him, maybe initially, that maybe changed later as mm-hmm. they went. But like initially, it could be because this guy's miraculous. It could be because he already had like a little bit of a crowd following him around. He'd already been teaching for a little while. And also, fish is their business. So basically, Jesus just came and dumped hundreds of dollars into their pockets and then said, would you like to have a little more of that, you know? Like, that's also perhaps why they may have followed. So what a weird read into that story for Stephen to be like, they were just like,
sure,
my mind is empty and I am totally down. Let's go, you know?
Which is so funny, because so much of his songwriting, and even, you remember when we did that, I think it was like a hunt for the best Christian song of all time, and it was the wedding songs. And it was that, I will be here.
Yeah,
that song by him.
Uh-huh.
It's so, he's like a deeply feeling songwriter. Like, he's very tender and very feelings forward. It's not like, just go.
Not militant. And
he's
emotional,
you know, in the positive way.
Yeah.
So it is so funny, like you're saying, for him to express duty and nobility sort of divorced from the inherent emotions that would animate it.
Yeah.
From the idea of like, because of love, because of devotion to someone, where it's just like, for the sake of the call.
Just literally because the words were spoken. It reminds me of how often we would have discussions like in our Bible studies and stuff about having like purity of motive in what you do for God or not. Mm-hmm. Like, if you could really slice it so thin that you only are ever doing anything because God told you to.
That sounds like something I would annoyingly bring up a lot.
Yeah, oh, exactly. No, me too. Cause I would, you know, examine myself and be like, it's probably like 90-10, you know, at best, mm-hmm. that I'm doing that. And like, is that okay? Clearly it's not, because even, you know, someone like Stephen is saying that like, if you were really following God, you wouldn't need any other incentive basically beyond just like complete blind faith, which is inadvisable, by the way, for anything else.
For anything.
Like, really, you shouldn't do that.
That would, again, it's one of those things that just using, not to get Shapiro on your ass, but just using basic logic, if you apply this tenet of thought process to any other part of your life, and you said, devote yourself to something and maybe don't understand right. Literally, the course says, no other reason at all.
No other reason at all. Not even a dream? Not even a promise? Those are like good things?
That was the part that bummed me out, is like,
what?
The idea, and I think when we even think about the idea of what a corrective version of faith or Christianity or being in community, that sort of like the guardrails of it are Christian values, like Christ-like values. There is a dream behind that. There is a cause behind that.
Of course.
It's like, it's the healing of yourself, each other, and the world. It is the dream, even for the most right-wing evangelical people, it's like that this way is better.
Yeah.
I saw their way and my dad's way was better.
Exactly, yeah. There's many creeds, many dreams, many visions that Christians openly, you know, proclaim and like follow and mm-hmm. say like, this is why we're doing this. But yeah, it was so weird that he would call those out specifically as like those dirty things like promises and creeds and like sacred things. To me, I think the thing that he is wants so badly, and the reason you would even write such a sweeping song about this, because it is very difficult, I would say actually impossible for anybody, is to do something completely without any self-interest at all. Like, that's the purity test for any Christian, and what I'm talking about, like, with that motive thing, and why we were so concerned with it, because it really undoes your, like, devotion or your sincere belief that like whatever God's plan is the best plan. Because if you have any kind of self-interest, like, well, I'm following God's plan, but also like I'd love to have a husband, for example, right. or I would love to also be accepted by this community, you are now inserting your own agenda, and therefore you're being like faithless to whatever God wants in your life, even if what you want is not like a bad thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is like, that's like the, it's like the more, one of the more torturous like cycles you can have in your mind as a Christian is like, am I doing this because I actually am obeying God? Am I doing this for the sake of the call? Or am I doing this because he gave me some stuff or I want something from God or I'm trying to assert my own will in my life or whatever it may be?
Yeah. And not to be reductive about it too, but completely trying to compartmentalize it outside of an exchange of love.
Yeah.
There's only one 21st century, I'll say, analog to what this is getting at. And it's a greatest hit we do on the show all the time, but it's military language.
Yeah, it is.
Where it's like, for the sake of God and country and to be faithful to your unit and your brothers and sisters in combat, like where it's just like, don't think about it. The commanding officer said this.
Yeah.
You do not parse with judgment or discernment. You only act upon it for no other reason.
Yeah.
At all.
And that's what they do in cults too. It's like, kill your individuality, kill your sense of intuition, kill your sense of like opinion. Mm-hmm. Or even perspective on what's happening. If you can tell something is irrational, kill that, because that is breaking the rule and like that it ruins the fantasy that like everything's according to plan here, you know?
And it says that in one of the verses is like, once we hear the Savior's call, we'll follow wherever he leads because of the love he has shown. So even he's saying like, it's because of the love he's shown.
Mm-hmm.
And because he has called us to go, we will answer.
But yeah, you're right. It's like, it's not an exchange where you get to ask Jesus why or express maybe what you were thinking. Hey, I was thinking maybe today we could go to Detroit. No, you know.
By the way, so you do want to go to Detroit?
Detroit's pretty cool.
Have you been?
Yeah, I used to live in Michigan back in the day.
I haven't been in Detroit.
Detroit. There's a lot going on in Detroit. But anyway, I'm just saying like the fact that you wouldn't be able to express any kind of like use your damn brain at all, you know, that like the ideal follower of Jesus is someone that just like without literally anything is like, you got it, God, no problem, mm-hmm. heading here. And also the other like mind-numbing, crazy-making part of that is, are you even hearing the call or not? Are you hearing God's will in your life
mm-hmm.
or not? Is that God's will? Or is that secretly you asserting your own will? Like the idea that you could even this song starts with the idea that like the call is very clear.
Yes.
Extremely understandable. We all have the baseline call. We get that. It's sort of like a whether you're going to go there or not.
It all.
Yeah. It's like, what is the call? Is it some guy at church saying like, please come on my mission trip? You have to, or you're bad. Like, mm-hmm. is it someone, it's hardly ever someone saying like, go for that job in accounting because you should be providing for your family, you know?
Well, like Mr. Powell was outlining in the encyclopedia, this was a boon as far as sort of recruitment rhetoric.
This was gets back into the military
a
again.
Manna from heaven.
There's nothing more noble.
For the sake of the call, you got to go to Tucson, Arizona.
Extremely sacrificial and kind of not great for you in the long run.
I wonder how he feels. He continues to perform this song. It was a number one song from him. This is him doing it here at a later stage in his life. Remember when he was Baloo in that Chippendale movie? What the hell was that?
Yeah, what was that?
Why was he Baloo in the Chippendale movie?
Strange.
He was
trying to get those church bussins.
Yes.
I mean, it's a good song, too. I mean, it sounds great. It must be a blast to sing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, musically, I feel like it's fairly, for its time, unimpeachable.
the rhetoric also of, like, abandoning things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That concerns me as well.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, I feel like you only use the word abandon when the stakes are high, when it's like important things,
mm-hmm.
you know, like relationships, your own dreams of what you were going to do with your life. You know, like I'm going to abandon it. You know, you don't say like I'm going to
deprioritize.
Yeah, I'm going to workshop it. I'm going to circle back at a later date. Like abandonment is such a stark, you know, cutoff to something.
Yeah.
And anyway, it almost triggers me too, because it made me think of being like a high school, college kid and being like, oh, I have to do like really high stakes, like 180s on stuff that are not wrong, but like what else in my life would I abandon? You know, like I'm not going to abandon my family, or maybe I should, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't like that rhetoric around these things, you know?
I wonder, man, what is that book where it's talking about just how, it's not religious at all, but just how social and political movements and how revolutions happen. It's when, if anything exists at like an 80%, you do have to take it to 100% in the way that you communicate it.
Right.
You do have to make an extreme emotion.
Yeah.
Because saying, I don't know, well, just, you know, chill out, but it would be nice if we did.
No one's
move
getting fired
towards
up about
this.
That.
It has to be, you must leave it all behind, and especially for the way children and people around the age that you're probably thinking of and conceiving of receive that sort of information. It's so much easier to and more fun to participate in this grand drama of something of like, I'm leaving this, I'm taking this,
yeah.
rather than the adult reality of relax, chill out, it'll be fine either way.
Yeah.
These things are probably good, and even if you believed in all of this and that all of this was true, there's a way in which you can inch towards and move towards this gently with love and respect and grace.
Yeah.
That doesn't need to be, and then you take it, and then you set it on fire.
Yeah.
And then you take your secular CDs, including your two Titanic soundtracks, and make a mirror ball of secular music in your youth group.
I know.
For example. For hypothetical.
Your folklore
example.
And evermore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's the thing about, that's really the bummer of the streaming age of music right now. It's like kids don't have the opportunity to set
their.
Oh, yeah,
I got nothing to burn.
No.
You can't burn your login.
To make this, and that was that was an Arrested Development joke, is like Steve Holt wants to have a CD burning party and maybe thinks it's to like make mixtapes. He's no, it's to burn Christian
That's
music.
That's right. Yeah, I mean like when you're 55 and you hear this song, what is it that you're like going to abandon? Your family? You know, like what is it that, you know, you've built up to this point with probably some degree of intention. I don't know. I feel like the only people this really sinks into are people who are like in sort of a desperate mindset already, you know, and are already ready to like
in a vulnerable position,
ditch
perhaps?
Stuff and do something, you know, drastic.
I know. Is that interesting?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, I mean, you know what we gotta do? We gotta go to YouTube for.
Ooh.
There was a tribute to Skeet and Squirt as Fat Man at the Dev Awards, the 37th Dev Awards back in 2006.
Got a tribute.
This is Mac Powell, David Crowder, Jeremy Camp, and Mark Hall from Casting Crowns.
Wow.
And they do a little medley. It's lying there at the water's end. What's your first thought?
Look at these. The best of the mid men. All four of them on stage.
Midly men.
I'm sorry to some of you. These are your faves.
Oh, wait. I remember my Twitter joke I was going to workshop with
what?
You.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everyone's worried about that AI program, but dating in LA is a bit of a mid journey unto itself.
Nice.
They're kind of doing harmony.
They pulled this together about 20 minutes ago.
Guys, we got to put on the greatest talent show the Dove Awards has ever seen.
Do you guys want to do any sort of like lighting movement or choreography or?
No thanks. We'll just sit on stools.
Visual effects.
No, we're just gonna stool it up.
Okay. Well, at least we'll do a different instrument for each of you, right?
No, we'd rather not.
Okay. Do you guys want to put on an outfit that's maybe a little bit better than Applebee's brunch?
No, that would distract from the Lord. Okay. We're going to abandon taste.
That's what Stephen would want.
His beautiful wife, Mary Beth, as well, and his wonderful
This is Mac Powell.
There's Mac. Tomorrow morning, I like Mac. Aw, they're so cute.
See, I like him singing
yeah,
this song,
I do
actually.
Too. That haircut.
I will be 2006. We were struggling.
No.
We were struggling back then. It's okay.
Sorry, Mac.
There was an online jam cover from the heat of the pre-vaccine pandemic, June 14th, 2020. Almost.
That's cool. Five friends.
Caroline, what am I putting in the comments?
Nice.
Nice.
Two exclamation points.
That's right, baby.
The coveted two.
They're getting a two.
They put more effort into that than what they did at the Dove Awards.
There's a Christmas choir performance from back in 2010 of a church, Grace Church Fullerton. Nobody stood and applauded them. They kind of give it a sense of urgency.
Crisp.
That's what the song was.
They came. Perfect, you guys.
That's the sound I make when I recklessly, when I come with reckless abandon.
And they came.
Well, let's get the chorus.
Man, this is the most juiceless choir I've ever heard in my life. I'm sorry. What happened?
Juiceless is one of my favorite descriptors as
it's
of recently.
Technically correct, it's, but man.
It's good. And then this is a recent cover. Internet's lying there at the water's what a dignified edge. Man. He's aging so handsomely. This is just Steven.
Evan.
Seen again. I would kill to look that good at his age. He's like 89 right there. I'm just kidding. He's not 89.
But he sounds good too. He's kept his voice really well.
Yeah.
I respect Stephen Curtis Fatman. I really do.
It's clear you do by the way you call him by his name.
Yeah. I do like his kind of, he's got like a theatrical voice a little bit too. He's mm-hmm. got something that's a little bit, they're professional to it.
But he never seems like he's straining.
Never.
In a way that maybe his compatriot MWS Smitty might.
Like, John Foreman.
He's really, or yeah, John Kermit's trying to get up there in that
yeah.
higher register.
I mean, maybe he doesn't have like a lot of character, his voice or something in those other ways,
oh,
but I like
he's got
it.
Plenty of character.
Right?
Yeah. You know,
sonorous.
I was looking into the Cost of Discipleship book because Chapman was talking about, oh, there was this part where they talked, where Bonhoeffer was talking about, it's not for a dream. And so I just did like a little PDF search of dream in it. And in one chapter, Bonhoeffer writes, the world dreams of progress, of power, and of the future. But the disciples meditate on the end, the last judgment, and the coming of the kingdom. To such heights the world cannot rise. And so the disciples are strangers in the world, unwelcome guests and disturbers of the peace. No wonder the world rejects them. Why does the Christian church so often have to look on from outside when the nation is celebrating? Have churchmen no understanding and sympathy for their fellow men? Have they become victims of misanthropy? No one loves his fellow men better than a disciple. Nobody understands his fellow men better than the Christian fellowship, and the very love impels them to stand aside and mourn. I just thought that was an interesting little passage of like, yeah, why are you dreaming about the future? We know the end is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Like the future is a distraction, like a false flag or a red herring from final judgment almost.
Very weird. And also weird to say that the final judgment, not a dream, a nightmare, I guess. Or like, but, you know, a similar conjecture in some ways. But, nothing to build toward.
I mean, now. You wouldn't expect it of a man who tried to kill Hitler, but he was a little intense.
Yeah. He is more intense than I thought he would be.
You thought he'd be like, guys, should we? I know it's bad, but he did bad stuff too. I don't know.
Oh, no.
Oh, gracious. Anything else to say about this song before we roast it or toast it?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, you know how it works, listener. We give it a holy toast. That's a thumbs up. It goes to heaven. A holy roast. Thumbs down. Or neither. It goes to purgatory. The space between. Man, I hope we get Dave Matthews on the show one day.
We're getting closer every year.
The Chicago Bridge incident. I saw that bridge. It. I saw it when I was there last summer.
Is there a plaque or anything?
I think there is. I think there actually is.
There's a statue.
There's a reenactment.
This is what it looked like. Life size.
It was so much. Everyone read up on that back in 2004.
But the boat should be in the Smithsonian.
Belongs in a museum.
Belongs in a museum.
Belongs.
He's 35.
I'm a 35-year-old man. I'm a young man.
I can do this.
Caroline, we'll start with you. I want to.
I'm going to give this a toast. You know, never has enlistment sounded so soaring and so exciting. Mm-hmm. I think that the Marines need to stop doing these video game commercials and start putting Steven's song over the enlistment process. Just some montage of that.
They've taken down the Jonathan Majors ads and replaced it with Stephen Curtis Chapman. Wait, Stephen Curtis Chapman replaces Jonathan Majors as Kang in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Twitter rejoicing over unproblematic Stephen Curtis Chapman. He's also playing The Flash.
Stephen Curtis Chapman replaces Ezra Miller in The Flash. He replaces that. He's the new Christopher Plummer because Plummer died.
Oh, yeah. We need a new Plummer.
We need a new Plummer, which is what I said in the casting room that fateful day.
Yeah, that's right.
But
congrats,
toast.
By the way.
Yay.
Yeah, I would say it's a toast. You know, all the issues aside I have with mindless following, I'm like, yeah, it's a good song.
I'm going to give it a toast too, because for the purposes of what it was getting at, the kind of scratching at the thing, because we really deconstructed it from the sense of, what is this actually saying about blind devotion apart from mutuality, love, grace, and respect, which, you know, just taking the song at face value, in a larger picture way, it does feel like it's kind of getting at this thing that everybody needs, that old cousin was talking about in the season premiere of The Bear this year. Purpose. Mm. What is the purpose? What is the call? What is the vocation? And the Christian life, as we've understood it and the vision of it laid out in this song, it will give you that purpose. It is a pretty understandable and comprehensible, I should say, path to walk. And not without fear or frailty or mystery, but the idea of you need to do something and to devote yourself to something larger and outside of yourself and great. The sound of that and that universal feeling is good to conjecture about and try to articulate and communicate. This is an interesting way to do it musically. I can dig it and get behind it, mm-hmm. but sort of it was missing for me the thing, which is just like love. Mm. It's like, and the older I get, I'm like, but wait, isn't it about love in every part of my life? Little things that are kind of itching at me or bothering me. A lot of times I realize because it lacks love, because there's not a current of love, and love can be like, oh, this person doesn't care about what they're doing, so there's no love behind it. Yeah. Or this person is not being kind in what they're doing, so there's no love behind it. Mm-hmm. This thing that I'm experiencing, art, media, it stinks, and it doesn't feel like a product of love.
Yeah.
And in the same way, outline it, or this political ideology or philosophy abandons love in favor of whatever. Of capital or in sort of just a pedestaling of the elite or something. It's not a holistic love. And I feel like this song lacks love in a lot of ways in what it's getting after. Like the call. The call should be love. And if it really is a gospel story about a God who so loved the world that blah, 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 and then you are compelled by love to do these things too, it shouldn't be for no other reason at all. Yeah. The call is love. And maybe if we said this to old Mr. Fatman himself, he'd be like, yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Right.
Maybe. But
it's like, I don't know, it didn't feel that way. It feels like the love is assumed, mm-hmm. but it's not exactly like expressed.
I always think of Logan in the season 3 finale in Italy when Roman's like, I don't know, love?
Love?
And he's like, you come to me with love.
With love. Yeah.
Love.
Yeah. Gotta have love.
And I think you do.
Love, I guess.
So that said, we still give it a holy toast.
Listen, when a jam is a jam.
That bass line on the quarter notes.
There's only so much I could do.
Hey, we're human. And with that, we bring it down to a more human space. A worshipful space, a worshipful time. On other podcasts, we may promote ourselves and plug our projects, but we're not doing that. We're lifting them up to the Lord. We start with Caroline.
You can lift me up at Caroline's Farts. And I am going to lift up a movie I watched on streaming. Don't ask me where. I don't remember. And I don't have to remember. You can look it up.
Yeah, you can look it up.
But a movie Damn. Called... It's called Rye Lane. It's a rom-com.
I've heard this is great. I've heard great things about this.
It's fun. It was really good. Oh, what a wonderful thing. I always love a movie that, you know, is all sweeping toward a big kiss at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that. And very funny and very fresh and new. I liked it a lot. So I'd recommend Rye Lane if you're looking for a good rom-com.
And if you're looking for it, look no further than Ann Dowd's streaming service of choice, Hulu.
Thank you, Kevin.
It's on
Kevin
Hulu.
Kevin looked it up for you guys because he loves you.
Because I love you.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank Hulu.
Hulu.
This is Ann Dowd accepting her Emmy for Best Supporting Hulu. Actor on The Handmaid's Tale. Ann Dowd. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. Letterboxd, Peloton, Instagram, OnlyFans. Doing some really creative things on that OF page these days.
Oh, yeah?
Really testing the limits of people's goodwill for me. Oh, yeah.
And their good money.
Just getting in there. I will lift up... Oh, God. You know what? I gotta look... I gotta lift up that book that I've talked about passively, but I'll give it the official lift up here. It's a book called Platonic, How the Science of Attachment... can help you make and keep friends, which makes it sound way more self-helpy than it is, of like, how do I talk to someone at a party? Which is how I sound at parties.
Yeah, that's why it's not.
By Marissa G. Franco, PhD. I love her lens and sort of a vision of that's kind of reductive of how friendship forms and functions for people, examining and interrogating the history of it and why it feels harder in 2023, which parts feel easier, how to make things work for you. But it's a very compassionate sort of understanding of what friendship can and should be. And ever since I started reading it, I've made 30 new friends.
Whoa, that's a lot.
I know. And wait a minute, I'm checking my text. I just made 5 more.
Oh my gosh.
And if you come to one of my platonic book parties and you bring 5 friends, and then they bring five dollars. Yeah, then they can buy the book and they'll learn how to do it.
I don't know about this book.
So platonic, everyone buy it. Terrific book. And they indicted me. You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. This month's charity. Do we have a charity this month?
We've been doing that for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Usually just saying we donate $1 to charity.
Yeah.
Unnamed. For like a month or two. No? Yeah. Do you want me to get one?
Right. No, we don't have to do it now. Okay. I'll just retake it.
Emma, cut this out.
Sorry, Emma. Thank you, Emma. Every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. Caroline, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you.
And do you want to thank me for joining you on the show today?
Thank you for joining me on my show today,
You're
Kevin.
You're so welcome.
I appreciate it. And thank you mostly to those beautiful listeners out there.
Those beautiful.
The gorgeous little ears.
Gorgeous. Oh. Those supple little ears.
Delicious little ear holes.
Waiting to receive the aural. That's an A-U-R-A-L. Pleasure. Not oral, aural.
Exactly.
And there's nothing left to say except for,
okay, I love you, Emma.
Amen. Now watch this drive. And they indicted me. No, we're not adding that.
We can't add and they indicted me.
All right. What is the song? You know what? You know what we're going to do?
For the sake of the cause.
We're going to play the reprise of this song from the album, which is this funny little orchestral version. Which
shake my balls
like,
at it.
Well, we had a lot of fun today. I feel like I learned the shape of my balls. And I hope you learned the shape of yours. Wholly devoted for no other reason at all but the shape of my balls. That's onlyfans.com/KevinTPorter. And tonight, as you go home to your loved one or loved ones, I don't know your life, or to your loved pets.
Nice.
If you're like me, I hope you hold them tight. And enough with this ball humor. That's not really what I want to say. What I really want to say is this. The call is love. Make love the call of your life.
Wrap it up.
And don't keep that call. Hang on. Don't leave that call waiting, which was a feature phones used to have 20 or 30 years ago. Answer the call today. Love one another.
900.
Love each other.
467. For God.
And love yourself. Amen.
Goodbye. That was a HeadGum Podcast.